Parshas Vayera, even though we're in Lacha, it's going to be a bridge about the Avos. Basically, in Tzicha for Bereishis, I try to capture some highlight, the essence of each of the Avos. Avram, what he was about, Yitzchak and Yaakov, each of them, what they were about. So what is Avram about? We know that he is about chesed, he's about kindness. That's what the Midrashim tell us. One of the psukim where we see this, according to the Gemara's rendition, is that Avram in next week's parsha is sitting outside after his bris milah. An older man gets a bris, it hurts, and he is sitting in the doorway of the tent. For Hachnasas Arachim, even though he's in pain, he's not feeling well, he is in the doorway of the tent, he's looking for guests. And lo and behold, Vayisayinah Vayar, Vinei Shlosha Anashim, there are three people coming to greet him, and he is so happy. Wow, an opportunity to invite people, guests. Vayomar, he runs to them, and he says, Adonai, im no matzasi chen beinecha, if I have found favor in your eyes, al na tavor me'al avdecha, don't go away. Now, who is that individual that he is talking to? Vayomer, and he says, Adonai. Sounds like Hashem, right? That's what most people say. So according to the Pshat, it is not. According to the Pshat, he is actually talking to the leader of the group. There are three guests. There's one that clearly is leading, the head guy. He says to him, my master, my masters, please, if I have found favor in your eyes, don't go away. Please come into my tent so I could feed you, I could give you drink, I could give you a place to sleep. However, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us there's another possibility. And that is, he was actually talking to Hashem. Hashem came to visit him. It was the moment of Avram not feeling well. So Hashem did a mitzvah called visiting the sick, Bikur Cholim. And Hashem is talking to Avram. He's communing with Avram. And lo and behold, they're guests. So what does Avram do? Oh, Hashem. He's actually talking to Hashem. Do you mind? I have some guests at the door. Please, if I found favor in your eyes, please don't go away. Stay here and I'll come back in a few minutes when I'm done with my guests, or in a few days, I'll come back to you. Comes the Gemara after rendering this line and says, Mikan Lomdim. From here we learn that Gedola Hachnasas Arachim, to welcome guests, is greater than Hakpalas Pnei Ashchina, than to welcome God's presence. Welcoming guests is greater than welcoming God's presence. From here, from this pasuk, that Avram was talking to God, he got guests, and he told God to wait for him. He told God, wait, you're off to the side, I have guests. Guests come first. And from here we learn that guests come first. One simple question. How did Avram know that? I understand we learn it from Avram. How did Avram know he could do that? So the answer I always love hearing is, well, Avram knew the Torah. All the Avos knew the Torah. Right? And so he was reading. He was like, Vayomer Avram, hey, that's me, Hashem. Oh, that's my cue. That's me. No, I don't think that's the answer. So, how did Avram know that he could tell Hashem, wait a minute, I've got guests, guests come first. Who told him that that's the way it works?
Just following what he did, so that's why he got to get the decision.
So he chose 50-50, and the Gemara says, yeah, it was a good choice. How does the Gemara then know? Obviously, the Gemara assumes that it was something thought out and quite logical, and it made a lot of sense. Alright, what? Anyone know? How could Avram Avinu have known that he could tell God to wait for the guests? We don't do this, by the way. If you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, there's a knock at the door, you don't answer it. Why? It's a good question based on this Gemara. It's an excellent question. Why not? And I believe Rav Aviner actually has an essay on that topic, why it is that we don't follow, seemingly, this lesson from the Gemara. Yes?
Maybe he felt that it was more important. He's with God a lot, maybe. Not like, it might sound a little bit wrong, but he's with
circles God a lot of the time, but he doesn't get guests that often. So this is like a very important mission for taking care of him. Maybe he felt like it seemed more important. But like, it's not in a rude way to God, just like what he's saying, like, God, please follow your commandments if you require.
He's with God a lot, and Nosasarchim, he doesn't get as many opportunities, so go with him. Okay.
Maybe he thought it would be worth it because he could get his guests to recognize God.
He'll, like Kiruv. Kiruv is worth it. I'll bring others to God, and therefore it's worth it. I'd like to, there are a number of suggestions, that those are both excellent suggestions. I'd like to suggest the following idea and approach. There's a story that many of us are well aware of. It's a story about Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken was approached by a guy that wanted to learn all of Torah while standing on one foot. First he approached Rav Shammai, Shammai HaZaken, and Shammai HaZaken, it says in the Gemara, picked up a pillar and waved it at him. That's a little abrupt. According to the Marsha, he picked up a figurative pillar, not an actual pillar, meaning the Torah, which is the pillar of the world, and he waved the pillar of the world at him. He said, this is the pillar of the world. It's been around for 2,000 years of development. Chutzpah, while you're on one foot, can you give a little bit more time than one moment? And then Hillel HaZaken, what did Hillel HaZaken say? Famous response. Yeah, that which you despise, ma desanu alecha al tas lechavercha. That which you despise, don't do to your friend. The reverse of ve'avta l'recha kamocha. Love your neighbor like yourself. Don't do the things to them that you don't like. That's all of Torah. Ze kol haTorah kula. He tells this guy. That's why I put on tefillin, because I don't like hating the other guy. That's why I eat kosher, because I'm going to try not to do the things I despise to him. To who? What was Hillel HaZaken saying? If you want to tell the guy, listen, one of the most important principles in the Torah is to treat your neighbor like yourself. I hear it. To say this is all of Torah. Tefillin, Shabbos, Yantif, Hallel, Rosh Chodesh, Davening. Hell yeah, it's all about don't do to your friend what you despise. What's he saying? He's pulling the wool over his eyes. It's a nice vart. It's a nice idea. But really, he wasn't telling the truth. What's the idea? So I'd like to just review a few principles about what it means when we come to the concept of chesed. Because I believe that Avraham Avinu learned this idea from logic. And the Gemara is saying it based on logic. The entire relationship with Hashem is one that's built off of being kind to each other, being connected to one another. The more you have a relationship between each other, the greater the relationship you could have with Hashem. The whole understanding you have of what a relationship is built between each other. Now, in New York, I'm picking New York because that's where I'm from, if you ask the average New Yorker, are you a nice guy? So I think everyone's going to say, me? I'm a nice guy. Now, what makes you a nice guy? That's already a bomb kasha. So I think the going understanding of being a nice guy is, well, I didn't kill anyone today. I know I didn't rape anyone, and I didn't rob a bank. I'm a nice guy. Now, that's true that he refrained perhaps from desires, but I don't know if that makes him a nice guy. I'd like to suggest that what makes you a nice guy is if you do things proactively to help someone else or care about someone else. You know, the mafia, they also like each other a lot. It's just that if you're not on their good list, they'll blow you up. It's, you know, they're very nice. So what actually makes a nice guy? So I know that I was in high school, in MTA, and we were very nice. Like, we also didn't kill anyone physically, but I definitely came close to it. When growing up, I think the whole point of being in high school and really just as growing up as teenagers is to have fun. And having fun means often laughing at someone. For example, so Jerry Seinfeld was walking in the mall, and you know how sometimes they close the doors and they're like crystal clear and you can't tell that there are doors there, so you kind of like see people bash their face right into that door. So he was walking in the mall and his wife and kids are there, and this guy is running. He's clearly late, and he clearly doesn't realize that the doors are closed. And his wife pipes up and says, like, "Jerry, don't you think we should say, shut up, I think this is going to be hilarious." And the guy runs, and he's like, he dribbles, like, boom, 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 and he fell like that. He was slamming so hard, this is the funniest thing ever. So Jerry said, "I did a good thing, though, I called an ambulance, I thought I'd hyperventilate." And really, that is the way that's just golden, golden. My brother and I, we used to go to an old age home in Paterson, New Jersey. There are really no Jews left in Paterson, New Jersey, other than the old people that are stuck in the Federation homes. They're the only Jews left. They couldn't go anywhere. Nobody was willing to wheel them out, so they're stuck. And so we would go to help Davin and Lane. And it was a 2-mile trek. I would love to say it was because of our righteousness. That's correct. You know, we were so righteous that we wanted to go help them Davin and Lane. The truth is that, that was some of the funniest moments in life. Like Jack and, you know, Bibi Neuwirth, she's a famous actress, so she was on the scene. Her mom was a congregant. And we didn't know any Yiddish, so we learned one phrase, Zibin and Svantzik. So they always wanted to know what page we're up to. We were like, "Zibin and Svantzik!" "Yo, Jack, what are we up? Zibin and Svantzik!" There it is again. And it was just hysterical. These guys would have these sunglasses that would take up their whole face. Like, "Jack, is that you?" And it was just loads of fun. Making fun of all the old people, making fun of the young people. So then I had a few realizations. Growing up, there was a boy from my hometown. He was kind of ignored. He was a little bit different, unusual. He had his own way in life. And unfortunately, a few years later, he jumped off the George Washington Bridge. And indeed, it was a great devastation to his family. Now, I don't know what happened, why, but every single guy that I was growing up with, we all thought the same thought. Maybe we could have said hello another time, one time. Maybe we could have, you know, done something to care about. And all of a sudden, the idea, the notion that maybe making a guy cry, that's not the greatest idea in the world. You see, being connected to other people, being actually nice. So I was told growing up that even though I had some mean things that I did here and there, overall I tried to at least believe I should do nice things and be good. I was told throughout my life, if you're the nice guy, you'll come in last place. The nice guy comes in last place. I was told that many, many times, especially if I acted nicely, and as a result, I wouldn't eat. I would, you know, someone else would, "It's fine, you cut me on the, if you need that schnitzel, okay." I remember in BMT, we would have plain and fancy caterers. That was the name. So they worked out of Machon Gold. So we used to say they got the fancy, and they shipped over the plain. So at Plain and Fancy Caterers, you know, the food, we had our ups and downs. Schnitzel night was, of course, amazing. Everybody loved schnitzel night. I used to be convinced, like, the entire Bayit Vegan could hear schnitzel night. Yeah, like, the whole, you know, screaming and clawing one person upon the other. "I gotta get that schnitzel!" And, I mean, there was one time that the
There was like an old man, really old guy, a guy named Mato Kakoing. He was the guy that was in charge of warming the food, putting away the food. He swept. He was like the janitor. And he was an old, frail man. He was from Djerba. I don't know if you've ever heard of Djerba, but Djerba is a place actually that Ezra HaSofer went to recruit people. It's a place of only Kohanim and Levim. That's it, Kohanim and Levim. And it's a city, I believe, somewhere in Iraq. And they had been there for thousands of years from the first Beis HaMikdash. And Ezra, when recruiting Jews to come back for the second Beis HaMikdash, he went to Djerba. And he said, you have to come with me. We need Kohanim and Levim. And they said, you'd keep your Yerushalayim. He said, what? If you're here, he cursed them. If you're here for a year, you're going to die. You have to come. You can't say, take your Yerushalayim. They cursed them back, which wasn't very nice. And Arayom Azeh Matuk is actually from Djerba. All the Jews from Djerba, I believe, left. They're no longer there. And he told me that in his childhood, growing up in Djerba, he and his parents and his grandparents, his friends, everybody in the community, continued to live life based on this tradition that if you're there for 1 year, you will die. So everybody, after 11 months and whatever number of days, they actually leave Djerba for a day or two and then go back. That's what they were doing 2,000 years after the destruction of the first base. 3,000 years after the first base of Egypt. It's a wild concept. And this guy, Mato Kakoin, straight out of Djerba, a very nice fella, about 80 years old at the time. And one BMT guy just needed those schnitzels so badly. And he would stand by the tray and give everybody their one schnitzel. One schnitzel. One schnitzel. And this BMTK went and shut the lights. He shut off the fuse from the fuse box. And hysterical, Matuk then was all flustered. And he went to figure out where the lights are. And in the meantime, by the time he turned on the lights and came back, the entire tray was gone, the tray itself. So it's very funny in high school. That's what we live by. We live for those moments. Camp, you know, throw the counselor and the rabbi into the pool with his wallet and phone. It's hysterical. And, you know, I was that rabbi that got thrown in. It's just, it's a ball of laughs. So, you know. So, however, the question becomes, at which point do we actually realize that our Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is really important? It's really, really important. I got to tell you the greatest story. Rav Machlis was teaching his class about the importance of chesed. So he said, you know, guys, the next person that walks into the yeshiva, let's practice it. Run over to him, greet him warmly, offer him some water. It's just someone, get him some water, bring him a chair, show him around, you know, do chesed right away. The next guy that walks in was one of the phone service providers. So the guy walks in, like 20 guys rushed. Quickly get him water. Well, you knew here. He's like, I actually provide your phones. And he's like, this is the nicest yeshiva ever. I've never seen any of this. And I'll tell you something. Dr. Fruchter, a few years in a row, you know Dr. Fruchter, the head of the AIM program. He's a doctor. So he told me, last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and before that he wasn't here. He didn't come to Beit Shemesh. So he said that there's something unique in Leva Torah. Two unique aspects. This goes for previous years. I'm not sure where things are holding right now. Unique aspect number one is that every single guy has his card, his AIM card. So he said it shows that, I guess, somebody talks to the students. In no other yeshiva or seminary, every guy has their card. They don't have it. Okay, technical point. So the other thing is, may sound crazy, he said, but every single kid in Leva Torah, after I see him, he sees me, every single one says thank you. So I know it sounds crazy,
And I bet every place you assume that would be. But he's been in the business at least 20 years, because I know he had AIM when I was in yeshiva. I went to yeshiva with his kids, and he was running AIM then. And he said, there's no other yeshiva or seminary that I've seen that. That's a mark of greatness. It's a mark of greatness. That's the mark that we should be striving for. We should be aiming to make people feel great, to actually start broadening our own centers. I want to care about other people. I go to my friend, my roommate, let me make him happy. Is he unhappy? Let me be there for him. Is he unhappy? Let me just say hello to people. Let me welcome people. And I'm not talking only about girls. I believe this is the idea of Avram Avinu. The whole way he can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole way he can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by having a relationship with people. If he doesn't have a relationship with people, he doesn't understand the first thing about having a relationship. Where do you learn the concept of a relationship from? From each other. The more you develop that, the more you can then develop your understanding, your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'll give you just a few ways you could start practicing this. Just a few stories. Number one, for years and years, I placed my seat in shul right next to the bima. These days they make me sit up front over here. But I placed my seat next to the bima. And the reason is because you know how sometimes you get a chazan, and the chazan decides to choose one of those tunes, and you say to yourself, oh, Shrek, I hate that tune. Please no. Say he's not serious. Another circus, another one of those two. Let him go solo. Let him see what it's going to be like to choose it. What was he thinking picking that tune? So I wanted to make sure I'd be there ready to help that guy out. I hate that tune. That's fine. I'm with you. I'm going to sing with you. It's an example. You got to be there. There are a lot of cases of Shlomo Carlbach. Shlomo Carlbach had a minhag that when someone spoke, he would sit right in front of them, and he would make sure to be attentive the entire time. He would focus on the speaker. I'm listening. I'm with you. I don't know if any of you have publicly spoken in a way that you actually care to convey a message to the audience. But if you have, and the people in the audience fall asleep, it is very depressing. If the people just don't listen, they talk to each other, they're learning something. Right now, I'm being very chashuv. I'm chashuv. I'm learning. So let me tell you a story about that. Rav Soloveitchik was giving shir, and the mashkiach of YU at that point, he only spoke Yiddish. YU was a Yiddish-speaking institution for many, many years, and then there was a shift when it turned into an English-speaking institution, and all the students spoke English, and they didn't understand Yiddish anymore, but some of the rabbeim were from the old country, and they didn't catch on. Rav Soloveitchik was a super genius, so when there was a switch to English, he then said, fine, so I'll also learn English. And he became one of the greatest English linguists in the world, because that's Rav Soloveitchik. But some of the rabbeim couldn't keep up, and one of them was the Mashkiach Ruchani of Yeshiva University. And one of the things that he did was he would go around to the different shiurim speaking to the shiurim. And he would just give a shiur once every other month, once every 3 months. He would come to give a shiur for a half hour or so. So he came to Rav Soloveitchik's shiur, and Rabbi, I forgot his name, the Mashkiach, started, and he was speaking in Yiddish, and none of the Talmidim understood a word. Rav Soloveitchik knew that, which was why he ended up learning English. And he knew his students didn't understand the word, but he, the rabbi, didn't understand any Yiddish, any English. What's going to be? Well, the rabbi gave his shiur, and a lot of the students decided, well, I might as well make use of the time. So they had the Sfarim. They were learning Torah learning under the books, under the tables. They're learning.
because why waste the time? I don't understand the Yiddish. The rabbi left, and in the second that the Mashgiach left, Rav Soloveitchik took his gemara, he slammed it shut, and he said, Chutzpah! People with such audacity, I cannot teach you. And he walked out. He walked out. In other words, there's a certain concept of Bein Adam L'Chaver, of caring. Care one for the other. It's a proactive concept. It's not, I didn't kill, I didn't hurt someone, I didn't kick someone in the head. It's that I actually went ahead. I did something good for people. I cared. I showed warmth. Oh, I hate that guy. That guy, he rubs me the wrong... He's strange to me. I don't like him. I don't like being around such a person. Be nice. Be nice. That! There, Rabosai! Is the way Avraham Avinu had a relationship. How does he know Achnasas Arachim takes over, trumps connecting to the Shekhinah? Because the whole way you have any connection to the Shekhinah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatsoever, is because of your relationships with people. If you love your friends but hate the people that just aren't your friends, there are loads and loads of people I just don't talk to because I don't like them at all, then you're not fully developed in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. The more Bein Adam L'Chaveiro you have, the greater your relationship will be with Hashem. So of course it trumps it, because the only reason I have anything is because of my Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, because of my man-to-man understanding and relationships. So Amir Tz Hashem, we should all try to connect to one another, that's for sure, to the Rebbeim, to people that walk into the yeshiva. They should feel the warmth. It doesn't matter who they are. Everybody should start developing outward to all your friends, all the people that are not your friends. Purim is a great time. Shalach Manas. Shalach Manas, I prepare extra Shalach Manas. When we lived in Yerushalayim, we prepared lots of extras. We didn't have a car when we lived in Yerushalayim. So that way, every bus we would take, we'd give him. Every gas station, you give him. Anybody you pass on the road while walking, you give the cab drivers, you give them, give people. That's the idea, not just on Purim. Really, let's all excel in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. With that Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, we'll all be able to excel in our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well.